All right, Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we are there in the Word of God and have been there several weeks, trusting that God would give grace and strength. Pray for Brother Titus Pearson, who had surgery this week and is home. We're praying for a speedy recovery for him, that God would get him back to full speed quickly. So lift him up before the Lord. And good to see the Banks in the building. They were up in New York earlier this past week, went up there. And the doctor seems to be pleased with what's going on. We pray and claim no cancer is going anywhere else. And we thank the Lord is getting better. So let's give God the praise for that. And continue to lift him up before the Lord. Psalm 16. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Last week, we looked at verse number 10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Somebody say amen to that. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One. Who's the Holy One? Come on now, who's the Holy One? How many are thankful for Jesus today? Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. One Bible writer told the story like this, that death, after it took Jesus, was standing at the grave waiting for corruption to show up. And the devil from hell must have been running the whole operation. Can you picture Satan communicating with his fools, talking to death? How's it going? Death says, I'm here at the tomb. We got him in here. We got him in here just like the plan said. I got me some Roman soldiers standing in front of here. I got a big old stone, all is well. But I'm waiting on my man corruption. And Satan says, well, I'm sure he'll be there. I mean, he always shows up, doesn't he? And death says, sure he does. We are a 1-2 punch. I done hit the one. I'm waiting for the two. The devil, after day two, calls down to death and says, so how's it going? Has corruption gotten there yet? Death says, I've been here for 2 days. I ain't seen corruption. I ain't heard of corruption. As a matter of fact, ain't nobody heard of corruption. And the devil says, oh my goodness, we can't let that man get up out the grave. Otherwise, what he says is going to be true. So I better come down there myself, Satan says, and make sure that he doesn't get up off the grave. I don't trust them soldiers, and I sure don't trust that stone. So I'm going to come down, and the devil rushes down there the third day to make sure Jesus doesn't get up off the grave. You know what the Bible says. After 3 days, the stone was rolled away. Somebody say, man, he got up off the grave. Genesis 3:15, the serpent shall bruise his heel, but he shall bruise the serpent's head. Can you picture the devil sitting in front of the grave? No, you can't get up. Out comes Jesus. Boom, shakalaka, knocks him. Punches him in the chest. The devil falls down. Jesus steps on his head. Amen. Bruises the head of Satan. Aren't you glad God would not allow the Holy One to see corruption? Praise his holy name. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your words already blessed. Settled in heaven and in earth. Thank you that it shall never, ever fade away. Now, Lord, help us. We're living in perilous times. People can't tell the right from the left, the up from the down. We can't tell good from evil. It seems like folks can't, but I'm glad we got a Bible. Give us what we need and help us to heed what we need to be better Christians for thee. Somebody in the building has come today not knowing this Jesus we've been singing about, this Jesus we've been talking, this one that got up out the grave. Might that one come to a saving knowledge of the truth and find out today that Jesus will save him, save her. Bind the devil. He couldn't keep Jesus in the grave, and he can't keep us from getting what you have for us unless we let him. So I pray, God, that you'd keep him from interfering. We love him. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I have set the Lord always before me. I think about those words in that statement. Psalm 16, verse number 8, I. The first word is I. Everybody say I. Can't nobody set the Lord before you but you. Come on now, while you're getting your place and getting your notes ready. Pay attention now. Nobody can set the Lord ever before you but you. Then he says, I have. You know, the word have is a verb in the perfect tense. It means it's completed. It's done. I've done it. I've made sure. In other words, it's a priority. In other words, I've done it. It's completed. I've made sure it's taken care of. Let's make sure that we don't live the Christian life taking care of everything but the main thing. Set. I have set. I have positioned the Lord, not a Lord. Aren't you glad he's not a God? He's the God. Then he said, always. Everybody say, always. Is it possible to go through Saturday with God where he belongs and wake up Sunday? He's not. You can't live the Christian life on autopilot. Too many of us have been saved so long, we think we don't have to go through the rigor that we went through when we first got saved. Do you remember when you loved God enough to talk to him every day? Do you remember when you loved God enough to hear from him every day? You remember when you loved God enough to tell people about him every day? You remember when you loved God enough to lean on him every day? Do you remember when you loved God enough to value what he's done for you? Do you remember when your salvation was so good everywhere you went, you had to tell somebody, I'm so glad Jesus saved me. And after a while, it begins to wear off and it gets stale. And then you remember the first time you learned the song, you sang it because you meant what you sang. And then you sung it so long, you don't even have to remember what you're singing about. You know the notes. You know the tune. You know how to hold it out. You know how to work the microphone. Let me tell you something. When we sing here at Crossroads Baptist Church and at every church, it should be more than just melody and harmony. It ought to be a message that we're singing. I hope when you sing about a broken hallelujah, you know about a broken hallelujah. I hope when you sing from the storm, you know what it's like. Paul and Silas didn't pray and give praises when they got out of prison. They prayed and sang praises while they were in prison. Somebody broke needs to praise him. Somebody sick needs to praise him. Somebody struggling needs to praise him. Somebody hurting needs to praise him. I guarantee you, Sister Dawkins from a hospital bed is praising the Lord. Hey, listen to me. I don't need a stone to cry out for me. I don't need somebody else to cry out. But listen, if you got a hand, you ought to praise it to God. You got a voice, you ought to lift it to God. Hadn't he been good? But we don't just praise him because he's been good. We praise him because he's God. Before that is in front of me. Amen. Where I can see him. Hey, listen, if you've gotten to the place in your life where you can't see God, then you need to put him back where he belongs. We understand that God is omnipresent. We're not talking about a lapse in his attributes. We're not talking about that he missed a step or he doesn't show up. We're talking about the child of God. What is on me as a child of God? I know the Christian life is God. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2. But before that, Paul said, work out your own salvation. So I have to understand, yes, it is on the power of God to work through me, but it's on me to make sure that God has somebody to work through. Listen to me, in these last days, he's not using puppy dogs and squirrels and cats to reach people. He's using us. He's speaking through us. Are you a vessel? Are you a catalyst? Are you a channel? Are you a tunnel through whom God can work? I have set the Lord always before me. Don't depend on the pastor for your spirituality. Don't depend on your parents for your spirituality. Don't depend on your friends for your spirituality. Just because you got a Bible in your house don't mean it's doing everything it needs to do. Come on now. Just because the Holy Spirit is inside of you doesn't mean he's working every way he can. Listen, he needs a yielded child of God who will say, I've set God ever before me. Well, listen, every Sunday I say to you, it's almost noon when I get up here to preach, have you talked to God this morning? Has God talked to you this morning? Did you tell him that you love him today? Did you tell him thank you for waking you? Well, my alarm clock woke you up. No. The Lord woke you up. He's the one started you on your way. Did you tell him this morning you're glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you got a salvation you can't lose? And by the way, you got a salvation you can't lose because you got a salvation you couldn't buy. Somebody help me preach. For by grace are you saved. Through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you glad that our salvation was purchased, none other, by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot? If you're having a rough day this morning, did you hear the songs? You're having a tough season in your life. Did you hear the songs? These weren't just fillers on the schedule. These weren't just an outlet for singers who need to sing, somebody who couldn't make it in the world, so we gave them a spot up here. No. We're singing because we know the people of God are going through it. And before the trumpet sounds, it's going to get more difficult and harder. And if you live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. And if you stand with the remnant of God, you're going to get lied on. You're going to get cheated. You're going to get talked about. You're going to get mistreated. People are going to turn on you. You're going to go through. The devil's going to have a bullseye on your shoulder. The devil's coming for your kids and coming for your marriage and coming for your testimony. And if you're not careful, you'll buy into the spirit of depression and despondency and despair and distress. And you let the world be crumbling around and you turn into doom and gloom. It's all bad, and the news is bad, and the politics are bad, and the climate's bad, and the gas prices are bad, and chicken wings are high, and they don't put as many in the package. And McDonald's, people say, I go to McDonald's, I got to eat cheap. McDonald's ain't cheap. Somebody help me preach. You pull up at McDonald's, you might as well go sit down and get a restaurant, somebody bring you your food. I mean, it's amazing that we even ask God to bless our food when we go to McDonald's. God bless you. You shouldn't even pray before you eat McDonald's food. I mean, where is God going to bless that foolishness? But let me tell you something. Everything's expensive anymore. Everything. And it's going to keep going. Listen, if you're holding your fingers, if you're crossing your fingers for the midterms to make your life better, you might as well uncross them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Nobody in Washington is going to make your life better. But I know a man who hung and bled and suffered for the sins of mankind. I said, I know a man who looked death in the face and conquered. I know a man who rose again with resurrection power. I know the burden bearer, the heavy load sharer, the heart regulator, the bread for the hungry, the water for the thirsty, the bridge over troubled waters, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know the one who's all powerful, all knowing, ever present, immutable, unchangeable, was, is, and is to come. Listen to me. I ain't trying to set some athlete ever before me, set some politician ever before me, set some friend ever before me. I'm your pastor. Better not set me ever before you. I want to set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. Say it with me. I shall not. Why are you moving? God's not where he belongs. And this pandemic is only exposing that. Everybody's trying, I need God. I need God in my life. You needed him before this. You better have him before the storm comes. Because it's hard to find stuff in storms. Come on, help me preach. You better know where your flashlight is before the lights go out. You better know where your lighter is, not for your cigarettes, for your candles. Come on now. If you don't know where stuff is in your house when the lights are on, you sure won't know where it is when the lights go off. I'll tell you what happened. This pandemic showed up and COVID showed up and the lights went off and everybody went looking for God. Well, if you found them when the lights were on, you might not struggle when they go off. That's why David said, always before me. Always. The desire for preservation, the duty to other people, the declaration of his portion, the determination of his position. Last week, the delight in his plan. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Aren't you glad when you die in Christ, you ain't going to stay in the grave? We're talking about some of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll probably mention some of this again tonight because it bears repeat. We need to be reminded this life is not the end. Stop living like now is the best it's going to be. There's a lot of toys you're going to have. But listen, none of these toys, you ain't going to take nothing with you. There's nothing you have on planet Earth you're going to take with you. The only thing you're going to enjoy in heaven is what you send ahead. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through. For where your treasure is, there may your heart be also. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you recall you have but one life. Live for God every single day so that when you get to heaven, don't you want some crowns to cast at his feet? This morning, I want you to write this down. The discernment about God's promise. The delight in his plan. Thou will not leave let thy Holy One see corruption. David looked forward to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Having never met Christ in person and never witnessed resurrection, David said, I know one thing about this Jesus. If he's God enough to die for my sins, then he's God enough to get up out the grave. Look at verse number 11. thou wilt show me. I said, this is discernment about God's promise. I'll tell you, if there's anything the people of God need in 2022, it's some discernment. Here's what I'm talking about. Some understanding, some discretion, some wisdom. James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Aren't you glad you've got enough wisdom to go around? Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. How many of you went through last week and needed some wisdom? You're married, you need wisdom. Okay, you don't think so? Let me say that again for all the married folk in the building. If you're married, you need wisdom. More than one out of two marriages in America are ending in divorce. These statistics are traveling their way into churches. A man and a woman, that's the only marriage that I recognize. A man and a woman living together need wisdom. Because he's not like her. She's not like him. And neither of them was intended to be like each other. Fellas, have you found out? Zev knows. She's going to take longer in the bathroom than you are. I'm talking about to get ready. Amen. Okay, make sure I clarify things. She's going to take longer to get her hair done than you. Woman go to the hairdresser, she's going to be there all day long. We're trying to get in at the barbershop and get out. We spend longer time waiting to get in the chair than we do in the chair most of the time. Things matter to her that don't matter to you. Things matter to you that don't matter to her. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if you're going to be married and stay married, you need some wisdom. Wait a minute. You need wisdom if you ain't married. Come on, all you single people. Say amen. You need wisdom to marry the right person. You need wisdom not to marry the wrong person. You need wisdom to keep yourself the right candidate to be sought after. You need wisdom not to be involved in fornication. You need wisdom not to be hanging out the wrong places, watching the wrong stuff, clicking on the wrong sites. Come on now. Hanging out at the wrong places. You need wisdom to not be listening to the wrong kind of jokes and telling the wrong... Somebody help me preach. Listen, David said, that's why I need them before me. I need discernment. Here's what he says. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Discernment about what? The path of grace. The path of grace. Thou wilt show me the path of grace. This path in the Christian life is a walk of grace. Unmerited favor. It's a work of grace. It's a walk of grace. Thou wilt show me the path. Here's what David said. When I set God ever before me, when he's at my right hand, when he's where he belongs, when I get up in the morning, when I live in this life where the world is telling me, come over here, and my friends are saying, come over here, and the flesh is saying this, and the devil's saying this. Sometimes you can have a headache with all the voices in your head to do this, and you don't know what voice is right. But when God's ever before you, isn't it amazing how his voice trumps all the others? Path of grace. I want to ask you today, are you walking on the path of grace? Can you see it? Can you discern when God manifests, this is the way, walk ye in it? How do so many believers end up out of the will of God? Let me ask the question again. How do so many believers, well, I'm talking about believers, I'm talking about blood-washed saints. I'm talking about people who are saved. You read your Bible, if you're saved, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? God lives inside you. Here's what Paul said in Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody ought to say amen that he's in me. How can a person who houses God in him be walking out of the will of God. How can a young person with the Holy Ghost inside of him be living a life that doesn't even resemble Jesus Christ? How can two people with the Holy Ghost inside of them not be able to be married according to the Word of God and have a marriage that thrives? I'll tell you what, just because the Holy Ghost is in you doesn't mean you've set God ever before. You can be walking down a path with God right inside of you that He doesn't want you walking down because you don't have God in a position where His path can be discerned. Should I take that job? Should I pursue that girl? Should I attend that college? Come on. Should I buy that? Should I wear that? Should I buy it so I can wear it? Should I take it back? You better get God in on every decision. I'm just, you know, when you come to these spiritual things, I need God. You need God on everything. Should I go to Chick-fil-A or go to Popeyes? Thou wilt show me the path of life. Or should I go home? Cook it myself. I think we need to get real specific with God. We have compartmentalized our Christianity, and we think that the path of grace only applies to instinctively Christian things. Listen, if you're a child of God, everything is Christian. I said everything about you is Christian. What you think that nobody can see ought to be Christian. Where you go that nobody can track ought to be Christian. What you delete that nobody can chase down ought to be Christian. What you say that nobody can hear ought to be Christian. What you say to your parents ought to be Christian, but what you mumble under your breath ought to be Christian too. What your wife knows about ought to be Christian, but what you're doing when she can't see ought to be Christian too. That's why you need discernment. The path of grace. God, I don't want to spend any time this week walking on a path that's not the path of grace. Thou wilt show me the path of life. It's not only becoming harder and harder to walk straight if you're a Christian. Watch this now. It is impossible to walk straight if you're a Christian unless God is the one directing you. The path of grace. Notice the presence of God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I'll tell you why David says, I want God ever before me. Because there is no place on planet Earth like living in the presence of God. Years ago, I heard a statement about godliness, and I started using it years ago. How do you define godliness? Here's how it can be defined. Living ever aware of the presence of God. Let me say it again. Living ever aware of the presence of God. Hear me now, child of God. You live your best Christian moments when you remind the reins of your brains, God is here. I said, God is here. Hey, listen to me. Think right now, right here in this service while you're sitting here. God is here. Doesn't it make you want to sit up straight up? Doesn't it make you want to pay attention? Hey, listen. If God were in the flesh, He walked in here. Every one of you sleep would keep your eyes open. If God walked in here, every one of you not singing during the congregation hymns would start saying, this is amazing. Even people sitting beside you, what you doing singing? You didn't see God over there? God were in here, I bet you'd put something in the offering plate. Anybody listening now? If you knew God was coming to church, you might think you might have changed about 7 times this morning. I wouldn't want God, if God come to the service today, I wouldn't want to come to church look like if God were here in the flesh, you might change the way you talk to people. You might change the way you speak. You might have gotten here a little bit quicker if you knew God was going to be here. I'm just trying to tell you, He is here. When David says, I've set God ever before me, he's not saying I make God show up. No, 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 no. I remind myself that he is here. I put him ever before me. I put reminders in my head. I tell myself, David, how do you think David could stay home from a war? He didn't have God ever before him. How do you think David could listen to him? You say, stuff come in front of me all the time that I shouldn't see. David didn't commit adultery because something came in his eyes he couldn't see. He committed adultery because after he saw something he didn't plan on seeing, he kept looking. You can't control the magazines in the rack when you check out, but you can control whether you pick it up. I didn't know I was coming in this aisle and that was going to be there. And that was going to be there. Yeah, you didn't know it was going to be there, but when you did this, don't blame the producers. I can't believe they put that in the aisle. I can't believe you picked it up. We make choices, folks. We make choice. We're living in a wicked world, but the world doesn't make us sin. We choose to. We got a lying devil around, but the devil doesn't make us sin. We choose to. He said, in thy presence, he says, there's the presence of God. That's why I want God ever before me. Where in this world can you go and not be with God if you set God ever before you? You might have a crazy job, but that doesn't mean you can't take God with you. And the pleasure of glory. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness. Listen, joy is not based on circumstances. Let me say that again. Joy is not based on circumstances. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on Jesus. Joy is what you can have regardless of what's going on. Listen, you can go through trials and still have joy. You can have difficulties and still have joy. You can have somebody in your life that walks away and still have joy. You can have financial issues and still have joy. You can have physical calamities and still have joy. You say, Pastor, how in the world can I smile in the midst of all this? Because God's right there with you. In his presence is fullness of joy. And then look at the last statement. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forever. Then notice the last part, the perpetuity of gladness. At thy right hand, there are pleasures. How long? Forever. You ever go into places that you really like to get something you really want to find out they're really out of it? You know, I just want to vote. Let's make a vote. See if you agree with this. Every restaurant ought to make sure they never, ever run out of their best thing. I mean, yeah, we ran out. It just seems to me that if you know everybody likes it, don't make a bunch of the stuff nobody likes. Make a bunch of the stuff everybody likes so you never run out. My wife and I were, years ago, I don't even remember where it was, but we were leaving somewhere and we decided to stop at Taco Bell. That's a lack of discernment. I say years ago, it was years ago because my stomach could handle it. No, the thing about Taco Bell is not that the food is nasty, it's that what it does to your stomach is nasty. Some of you have a stomach young enough and iron enough. I mean, I don't care when I eat Taco Bell. I mean, I feel like I can just walk past it and my stomach start hurting. But anyway, we were in a hurry. I finished preaching. We had to head back after we were preaching. And I pulled up to Taco Bell. And she ordered something and I was ordering something. And I probably said, I like a chalupa. I think I like the chalupas at Taco Bell. And so I'm finding out that this is not real Mexican food. You know, I found out I don't like real Chinese food either. I went to Vancouver, Canada one time where there's a strong population of Chinese people and I ate an authentic Chinese food. And I found it for the first time in my life. I don't like Chinese food. I like American Chinese food. I went to a Chinese restaurant. And I said, I don't want General Tso chicken. They said, Hawaiian? And what? So I said, I tried to describe to them what makes General Tso's chicken. And I'm telling you, whatever came out, either that wasn't General Tso's chicken or I haven't been eating General Tso's chicken. That was General Tso's mess. I don't even think they knew who General Tso was. So stop telling everybody you like Chinese food. And I hate to pick on people, but black people are the worst people. I love me some Chinese food. Oh, yeah, me. I'm a Chinese food connoisseur. I'll tear me up some Chinese food. What you eat? Chicken wings and egg foo young. That ain't even Chinese food. It's your country self. How much you like Chinese food? Chicken wings and egg foo. How did egg foo young even get on a Chinese menu? And nothing but something fried and a bunch of gravy. And raise your hand, country folk, all of y'all that like it. Put your hand up. Look. You old stereotypical black people. And them Chinese places do make good chicken wings, though. Anyway, Taco Bell. I like a chalupa. My wife tends to eat. What do you eat, honey? Hard tacos? Hard tacos? Hard taco supreme. The person at the window at Taco Bell answered back. Hold your breath on this. Sorry, we're out of meat. This is the time in my life where my face starts to change colors and my wife can see it. And this is when she starts grabbing my arm. Honey, I answer back, no, you're not. I don't think they were expecting that. So she said, excuse me, sir. We are out, completely out of meat. I said, no, you're not. So then I pulled up to the window. I said, this is a conversation we need to have face to face. So they opened the window and said, say that again. We out of meat. So I said what any smart person would say. Why are you open? Then I said what another smart person would say. There's a grocery store right there. Go buy some meat. Cook it and fix my chalupa. How does a restaurant that serves tacos, almost every item on the menu has meat, how does it stay open without meat? The lady at McDonald's said, we don't have sweet and sour sauce. I said, yes, you do. She looked at me like, I said, this is McDonald's. You do have sweet and sour sauce. Sir, the truck, I don't want to hear about the truck. The truck doesn't have nothing to do with me. My truck is in the drive-thru right now. And you have some, I said, I bet you got some out in the lobby that you can pump. Go get a little cup and pump me some. Don't tell me you don't have it. If you don't have them packaged, but pump me some. Let me tell you something I never seen happen. I never pulled up Chick-fil-A and they told me they was out of sauce. You go to Chick-fil-A and say, I'd like $1 million in ones, and I want it right now. Chick-fil-A would say, my pleasure. They try to knock them, try to destroy them, try to criticize their Christians. They close on Sunday, and they still, you go to Chick-fil-A, you pull up there to Chick-fil-A and didn't even order nothing. Say, I want 13 Polynesian sauces, 15 Chick-fil-A sauces, 12 honey sriracha sauce. They give them all to you and send you home. You ain't even have no chicken nuggets. How in the world do people who have one job run out of the one thing they're supposed to be doing. I'll tell you why. They're human. Guess what David said? At thy right hand are pleasures. Watch this now. Forevermore. I'm never going to pull up to God if he's at my right hand. And he go, it's a hard world. It's a tough world. You know, haven't been so bombarded here lately. It's more people keep calling up here. We wanted to bless you this week, but we just don't have no more blessings. You know what I'm going to say? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because you told me in Psalm 16 through your servant, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Listen, won't he do it? Ain't he good? Doesn't he keep blessing? In their pleasure more? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So if you all out of whack, twist it up. One preacher I was preaching with Friday night said, you bowed up. He's talking about the lady in the scriptures. She was bowed. She bent all of it. He preached for the whole day. He said, bowed up. So I don't know where he got it from, but I like bowed up. Amen. Maybe you just come in the building there. You just messed up spiritually. And you're looking for the answers in the mailbox from the doctor, from the boss, from the job, from the school, or from yoga. You better get God where he belongs. Because when you set the Lord ever before you, and he's at your right hand, you can say with David, let the church say amen. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you for being accessible to us. And help us to be adamant about you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, I'm saved and going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Now, if you got your hand up, put it together with your other hand and give God the praise that you're saved today by the grace of God. Do you act saved? See, when God saved you, he did a complete work on you. Nobody can ever get you unsaved. But that doesn't mean you've got a God ever before you. Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of in and out, up and down, on and off when it comes to joy. I find myself discouraged more often than I want to be. And I blame it and excuse it on everything. But what it really is, it's on me to be in your presence. Now, it may be a bit more of a challenge with things around me, but as challenging as it is still my choice. How many say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart today. I need discernment about the path of grace. I need to be in the presence of God. I need the pleasure of glory, and I need the perpetuity of glory. I need to get God and me where we belong so nothing can take his pleasure from me. Put your hand up all over the building. Come on. We're too moody, too fickle. It's a spiritual matter. God bless you all over the building. One more question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm real sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm 100% sure I do not want to go to hell. If that applies to you, would you hold your hand up? Thank you. I see one hand. God bless you. And another hand. God bless you. Hey, listen. Jesus got up out of the grave so that you could know that you're going to heaven. Could I tell you how? See, when God is here, He gives us discernment of the path of grace. Hey, here's the path of grace today. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'll tell you why there are people that go to churches and they can't find the way of salvation in those churches. Because those churches have not set God ever before them. What a sad thing when people can't find out how to get to heaven when they go to some churches. Because those churches aren't teaching the truth. Listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Listen, all of us here are sinners. We've been born sinners, separated from God. But God made a way. God made a path for you to be saved through His lovely Son, Jesus. You have to call upon Him. You have to place your trust in Him. Just like we're talking about setting the Lord ever before you. You have to set your trust in Him. How do you do that? According to Romans chapter 10, with your mouth confession is made. With your heart you believe. You have to believe that Jesus that David talked about would not stay in the grave can save you. You got to believe it. Let me tell you something. He can. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus. Today He's drawing you through the reality of the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know what's been presented to you? Truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. They shall know the truth and the truth shall set me free. Say, Pastor, you're always spouting off all of these verses. Yeah, because I'm not going to try to get you into heaven on my opinions. It's the truth. Right where you are, if you understand that truth, you were born a sinner. Your sin separates you from God, puts you in a position to be penalized by God. The penalty for sin is death in hell. The Bible is very clear about that. But the payment for your sin was made on the cross by Jesus. Nobody goes to hell because your sins are not paid for. You go to hell because you're not put your faith and trust in Him so that that payment can be applied to your account. It's been paid. Everybody's sin has been paid for, but only by faith can the payment be transmitted on your behalf. It's like having money in the bank, but it doesn't get in somebody else's account till you write the check. Now, right where you are, I'm going to give you a chance to put your faith and trust in Christ. And the Bible says today He'll apply that payment to your account. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. He's wiping out your sin debt with His blood based on your faith. Right where you are, all over the building. If you put your hand up, even if you didn't, you say, Pastor, you may be watching online. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Wherever you are, whoever you are, right in your seat, you bow your head in the quietness of your heart. You got to mean it. I see your face. God sees your heart. Right where you are, bow your head. Say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin separates me from You, and it'll send me to hell. But I believe Jesus died and rose again. And as best as I know how, I'm putting my faith and trust in His blood as a payment for my sin. Please forgive me and wash my sins away. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're in the building today, you're online, I hope you'll contact us and let us know. If you're in the building today, Pastor, you say, I prayed, I meant it. I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't have it all figured out. But I know that I didn't want to go to hell. I know I wasn't sure I was going to heaven. I know I prayed and I believe. Listen, that's all. The thief on the cross didn't know the whole Bible. He said, remember me. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He believed in Jesus. He never got baptized. He never ran and spake in tongues. He never went through discipleship class. He believed. You say, Pastor, I believe in my heart and I prayed it. And I asked the Lord to save me. Nobody's looking around but me and our staff and our deacons. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Let us rejoice with you. I prayed and I asked the Lord to save me today. Slip it up long enough for me to see it. Don't be embarrassed. Anybody like that? I prayed, Pastor. I asked the Lord to save me. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up, would you please? Now, if you're here in this room and you need somebody to help you, guide you through something, our leaders will be available. You stop by one of the ushers. They'll contact you or I'll contact you myself this week. We'd love to help you in your walk with the Lord. For those of us as believers, come on, let's make some choices this week. Let's get God off the back burner. Get him off the left hand and get him at the right hand. Quit making God an afterthought. Hey, why don't you take a week and stop reading your Bible at the end of the night when you fall asleep and start reading it when you lie awake. Give God a priority. Set God ever before you. 6 o'clock tonight, be tuned in. 7 o'clock, every member at Crossroads Baptist Church, you ought to be ashamed if service is going on at 6 o'clock on Sunday night and Wednesday night and you're not tuned in. That is bad prioritization. How in the world I can expect God to lead me and give me discernment when I won't make the effort to put him where he belongs? Come on, folks. We're giving the devil way too much credit for why we're messing up. Lord, for what we've heard from you, not me, from you, all of us, me included, give us a new commitment today to honor and serve you more than we ever have. Forgive us for being lackluster, non-committal. And Lord, forgive us for the times we've put way more effort into other people and other things than we have you. May somebody, moreover, everybody today, leave this service determined to set you always before us. And because you're at our right hand, we shall not. We bless the mighty name of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen.